attention, salute, pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. Our newest member will be a little bit late, but he will be here and time for us to conduct business. First of all, we'd like to approve the agenda.
Staff has recommended change for the agenda. We would like two changes on this. After the approval of minutes, we have chair and vice chair elections. We recommend that we wait and carry that out after the newest member is here, so moving that down to some point later in the meeting. And the second is under subdivision approvals and updates that Joy will give. We are going to see a request for a variance from a property owner that we met with yesterday. We'll explain that. Joy will explain that in a minute. So those would be modifications from staff.
Anybody have any objection to that? All right, we'll do that. We'd like to approve the minutes from January 28th.
I move that we approve the minutes as sent out.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Any changes?
Mark Burrows, there's a bad question. Did the chair of the planning of the transportation board say something about a meeting tomorrow when we were in that emergency services meeting the other night? I noticed in here it says next meeting in April, but I didn't know. I thought he said something about a meeting tomorrow morning.
There is a meeting that does not need to be in these minutes, but there is a meeting that transportation advisory board members have been invited to. It's really between administration, okay, staff, county commissioners, and NCD.
I didn't understand what the meeting was about, but I thought he said something about it.
It's looking at some of the changes in funding and prioritization. And specifically, it was relating to, what would be new funding that allows projects US 64 from Indian Creek to Toxaway Dam to move forward, the study of Wilson Road to be moved forward, as well as an area that would be Neely Park and North Country Club, and it's just a meeting for commissioners to give them an update. That it was mentioned, but not something.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. I thought I heard that. That's
you did.
All right. Thank you,
Mark.
Sir, was that were those Wilson Road improvements? Is that just safety improvements, or is that the Sylvan Valley bypass?
It is not the Sylvan Valley bypass. It is looking at improvements to Wilson Road from Old 64 near the intersection, actually at the intersection of Acosta Road, Old 64, all the way to 276, straightening of the road, and then looking at turnouts, turnoffs for vehicles, Glen Cannon, for example, and then looking at lowering the grade. Right now, when you're on Wilson Road and you're on the coming up on 276, it's kind of steep, and what the Transportation Advisory Commission has found is that some trucks and larger vehicles are actually kind of bottoming out as they try to go on that, and that's not safe. So that's an area being looked at. There would also be improvements being looked at for bikes, and so a wider shoulder that would be paved, not necessarily a bike lane designated, but wider shoulders. And as Transportation Advisory Committee members have discussed, anytime that we can get a wider paved shoulder, it increases safety not only for bikes but for people driving in cars, as well as helping improve the road and maintenance of that road. It's just that much safer in design. So, but it is not to be considered the Sylvan Bypass.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
I know we've wandered off course here, but there's one more transportation question. Do you know of any place online where I can find a map, plat, whatever you want to call it, for that new 64 project?
Yes. We can, everything, DOT is extremely transparent right now with all of their work. Okay. It may take a little bit of work to find that, but I will get that to all of you. So Mike is asking just for what that looks like, and we will provide that link for you. Happy to do that.
Is the Highway 64 project the one from Indian Creek to Lake Oxway?
Yes, sir. It is.
So it's already under construction?
Well, the brushing is under construction. They've already, brushing has already been taking place. They're going to be doing some staking of that, but we won't see any road work probably for another 12 months or so, I would think.
Steve Cannon, when he gave us an update, he's the district engineer for this district, said that it should be underway in 2018.
Yeah.
So is that the next section of the road?
No, the one that you just referred to.
Because its completion date is 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's going to, what they're doing right now is just clearing, brushing, and then we're going to start seeing some demolition or excavating to that area. That area is going to have some major work done before they can actually have road work constructed.
And that includes the dynamiting.
It does.
They were concerned about that earthen dam.
The Lake Toxaway Property Owners Association contacted the county. I had a contact, and that evening was able to get with Steve Cannon, and he responded that evening. And so that was in the contract that they had to be aware of that, and that's actually in the contract.
Thank you.
Yep. Mike, any other things on?
I'm done. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Was it moved?
We have moved. Yeah.
You moved it. Yeah.
Exactly.
All those in favor of approving the January 28th minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. You want to do the subdivision now, Joy?
Sure. So in front of you, you have the normal subdivisions and exemptions from this last month. We had a couple of recombinations, and then we had a couple of changing of boundary lines. There were no subdivisions recorded between now and then, but in front of you, you have a map of a property. The property owner is seeking a variance to the subdivision ordinance. The subdivision ordinance sets out road requirements for roads that serve four lots or more, and the line to the left of the property is Old Gloucester Road, which currently serves the property. This is Old Gloucester Road. It currently serves the property and the neighboring property, so it currently serves two lots. The property owner is requesting to subdivide the parcel into three lots. Due to the restrictions, on there I have slight dash marks where the proposed subdividing line is. You'll notice right there. This Old Gloucester Road, if the subdivision is approved, the Old Gloucester Road would then serve 1, 2, 3, 4 lots. 1, 2, 3, 4 lots. And currently, according to the surveyor, it's 8 feet wide. And so the road does not meet the minimum standards for a subdivision of four lots or more. In addition, there is an existing place for emergency vehicles to turn around right here, where Old Gloucester Road meets Spring House Road. And there is the property owner has a turnout into this lower lot that can be modified into a modified Y to meet the cul-de-sac and turnaround requirements under the subdivision ordinance for emergency vehicles. And the property owner is seeking a variance to modifying the road and a variance to the requirements for the cul-de-sacs because of the existing turnarounds that are present. Do you have anything else that you would like to say, Rudy?
Yeah. I appreciate y'all hearing me out. The third lot up is got a 25-foot right-of-way that goes across the top, and the third lot is very narrow. And on the bottom half of the lot is a 20-foot right-of-way, and the land is very steep, and it's, the third lot is not usable land. It's unbuildable. It's really worthless, and I would like to touch on that.
The question that staff had for Ricky was, why not combine then what is shown on the plat that Joy has, lot one, and that third one? And if we understand correctly, it has to do with the promissory note that is in place and the payment that has to be made. A little bit of background. A private driveway can serve two lots. And so when...
And it can be 8 feet wide?
It doesn't have to be. There are no standards.
No standards. No requirements for a private driveway. So currently, Old Gloucester Road is a private driveway because it serves this one lot and this lot over here.
Serves two lots, and what Mr. Lansing wants to do is create three new ones to make improvements on this road, and I think it's real important. The ordinance, when you are looking at a variance, you can't give a variance just because somebody creates a hardship. You know, if somebody creates their own hardship, that is not a reason for a variance. What you have to look at then are there environmental factors that if making him put in a road that meets the minimum standards for four lots, which would be 12 feet plus 1 foot shoulders, and then increasing the width for turnarounds, environmentally, I don't know if that makes sense, particularly when you've got that one lot that, from what we can determine, is really not worthy of putting anything on. Maybe somebody could put a trail on. Maybe. I don't even think that's possible when you look at a well and a septic system. So I think that's a real challenge. So the variance request would be because of environmental factors and trying to do that. Staff can't make that call. This came into us yesterday morning. Typically, variances have a longer wait period, where they have to give us notice. You would have it well in advance. We could talk to you about that. But as you know, staff tries to really work with the public where we can, and we thought we would bring this to you tonight. So we're seeking your wisdom and your guidance on how to go. Mr. Lance, is he?
I'd like to say one more thing, please. When I bought the road was 8 foot wide. Since I've got the land and everything, we had to have a well truck. And if you look at the map, the well, it shows a well, and the well is at the very top of the corner of the piece of property. We couldn't even get a well truck up there because the road was in there. But I had somebody come in and widen the road. The road is 12 foot wide. I had to move a bunch of rocks and stuff. But I made sure the road would hold up because the well truck being 60-something thousand pounds and everything. So I had to do a lot of road work. And I have a neighbor, and they didn't help. I put in the bill for everything. And they was able to get up there and turn around and everything with no problems. And I believe, you know, road is 8 foot, the road is 12 foot. In some places, but some places now, it's 16 foot to 18 foot, but there was a lot of rock. We had solid rock and stuff, and I didn't want to have a bunch of roads and stuff, and we could have damaged the road that was there if we went to moving the rock and trying to deal with the rock. And the road is in really good shape, and I was just, you know, afraid. I could have went wider in a place, in a couple of places, but with the rock and everything, but I'm still at 12 foot, so I just want to let y'all know that.
The information on the plat from the surveyor says 8 feet, which is why I was not aware of the width of the road.
So is the width of the road a safety issue? Fire vehicles, ambulance?
So width of the road for, again, driveway, two parcels or less, we don't care what it is. When it gets three or above, we have concern about emergency vehicles. But more importantly, we have concern about vehicles being able to pass so that you don't have one blocking. And that's why what we do have is an intersection, as Joy said, at the top, where you could do a three-point turn or somebody could back up to. And with the bump out down at this lower area that would need to be shown on the plat, you have a place for an emergency vehicle or another vehicle to back to and then back out. So if it was all just less than the minimum requirement with no turnaround at the top, no turnaround at the bottom, I would definitely not be supporting this. As it is now, I'm fine.
Do we need to approve it with that reservation, or?
No, not with a reservation, but the approval would be on concern of environmental concerns that further widening of that road could create more erosion, more damage to the area, and not really, so that would be why you would be doing it as part of the variance. And then I think you would want to stipulate that the survey that is recorded show the modified Y or T down below, so that that's recorded as part of that right-of-way down below, would be a suggestion.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
As to the future ownership of these three parcels, are they going to remain with the same person, or are you selling off one?
I'll be glad to answer that. The bottom lot and the top lot will be at the same person. The center lot eventually will be sold.
Okay. You know, if we're approving it based on not developing that third lot, then I think that there should be a restrictive covenant on the deed.
Do you have a problem with that, Mr. Lynch?
Can I say one more thing? Down there at the bottom of the, towards the bottom, about midway, as he was saying, there's a bump out. They are a Y there. And that lower lot, you can access it from Shelton Road. It has Shelton Road running. And or if you use Old Doctor Jack Road, because there's already a Y there that meets what he's saying the standard is.
What? Could you tell me one more time what the requirement is? How many lots?
If you have three more lots, you're going to have a 12-foot road that is 6 inches.
But when you have 4 to 23 lots, it goes up to 16-foot road with 2-foot shoulders.
So, I mean, can you not say that the upper lot, the smallest, is supporting this plan? The northernmost lot, is it not accessible by Springhouse Road?
According to the property owner, Springhouse Road is locked off. And so it's not usable by these three lots.
It's not usable. The Andersons has blocked that road off when they cut trees and stuff. As far as I know, when we're being, the Andersons meet in that corner, it's private property. What research and everything I've done and went through with the neighbors and everything, it's private property from there. So I have to get permission from the property owner and the next one over. I think there's two of them between us, and they're like, they don't want nobody there. They're from Florida. They use the house maybe
They come up twice out of a year. They're not really there. And they don't, so they don't want to put no money. They don't want, you know, to deal with anybody. They just want to have a summer, like a summer vacation house.
I have a copy of the road requirements if you would like to see them. If you guys...
Well, my main question is, you know, there's several lots and several different roads and right-of-ways. So which lots are accessed by which roads? And so do we really have...
When you look on the county's web GIS service, and you go into the aerial photo, you can clearly see that this lot, the driveway swings out from the road. So this lot is one lot is using it, and then this lot is using it. So currently, two parcels are using Old Gloucester Road as a access to the property.
Mr. Lance?
I'd like to say something about this question there. The lots above me and the lots adjoining me up there goes back to Faraway Hills. All of their right-of-way go back to Faraway Hills. From where that road at the top of that piece, that paper you're looking at, it says where you go out to the, where the well is, every bit of that land goes back to, it borders Faraway Hills. So all the right-of-ways from there all the way out to the Andersons, their right-of-way is out Faraway Hills. They have road running to Faraway Hills.
I kind of feel left out here.
So you've taken them. This Lance has been a well truck up there?
Yeah, he had the well truck and the pipe truck all up there. I know the well truck, you know, is bigger than the fire truck.
Right.
And then the tank truck, the water truck with, you know, the pipe and all that, the pipe's 20 foot long. You know, the bed's over 20 foot long with the cap. And they had both of them up there at the same time and didn't have no trouble getting in or out.
Did anybody pass it? I mean, do you recall? So there were people ready to pass. There was no problem.
We never blocked the road. We never had the road blocked. They were able to get around. I widened the road in a couple of places because, you know, you couldn't pass. And, the road had washed out one time before, and I repaired it and put a culvert in. But it was just running to the bank. I mean, there wasn't a culvert or nothing.
Right.
And I dug the road up and put a culvert in. When I did, I was able to widen the road because I'd come out of the rock.
Right. And there's no way to widen the road any further without causing additional damage to the environment.
Yes, sir.
To the property.
Any other questions or concerns? What would you like to do, Board?
Make a motion to accept the variance.
However that works.
Variance would be a motion to approve a variance for the name on there, which would be a motion to approve variance for Ricky L. Lance and wife Ginger A. Jones. Reason for that is environmental concerns and that there are existing places for turnarounds for emergency vehicles. And also, if I understood, Chris had a concern that would be that the plat showed that is not a buildable lot, that upper part did, as a condition of approval.
Is that what you moved?
Except the last part, no. I moved it if given the variance. He's answered the question sufficiently. The potential environmental damage and what happens on that lot, if emergency vehicles can get up and down the road, which is the purpose of the subdivision, I don't see why we need to put a restriction on that lot.
I think the lot in its configuration is not developable. And so I don't necessarily think that you have to put a restriction on that.
Okay.
I think that
I don't have the topographical information that supports what you're saying. I've got a flat piece of paper with a black line on it. So if you're in your opinion that is,
it is,
then that would be fine.
So that you're okay with that?
I'm okay with it. We accept the variance, no conditions on that flat.
Okay.
And all that other stuff you said, those are all that was worth.
Everyone has that.
Did you still want to second that, Jackie?
I do.
Jackie seconds it. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor of variance, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Variance carries.
So, staff has a question for you. This was not something you were anticipating coming in and seeing. Previous boards have said we want to try to work with public and make sure that we, I don't want to say we want to accommodate every request or need, but is that the way you would like us to continue if somebody else is? I mean, we've not had a variance in probably
since that
was
you watched.
Yeah,
it's been a while. Scott was on the board.
That's why I'm looking at Scott, because I think it's been that long to sign the
276.
So is this appropriate for you as a board in terms of bringing something like this to you?
In my opinion, as long as you have enough information, which I thought you did here,
okay,
the person's here and available to answer questions, I'm good with it.
Thank you.
Do others think we need more time?
It depends on the
okay.
complicated and, you know, the whole site. This was pretty straightforward, don't you think?
And I think having the owner here to answer the questions is important, you know, when it's a short fuse thing like this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Joy, do you have anything else to tell us, or are you done?
That was the entire subdivision approval and update.
Okay.
Thank you for checking.
Okay. Thank you, Joy. Okay. You know, I think we can go to the election of the chair and the vice chair. The gang's all here, so let's get to it. Actually, maybe we should approve the Should we approve the February 4th minutes now?
Those were designed to be notes.
That's right,
okay.
Minutes.
I don't know that we need them approved. They were just, this is what we saw, this is the takeaway.
Phelan did a great job of just kind of summarizing the interaction that you as a board had with advocates. There were no actions taken, it was just information.
Okay. You know, before we do that, I'd like to say something about that last meeting, not the February 4th, but the 28th meeting. There were three of us not there. I had every intention of being there, but my daughter was taken to the emergency room unconscious. Her life was in danger on the Sunday, and they had to perform an emergency cesarean section to save her life, the life of the baby. My wife and I, it took us 5 hours to get to Mission that day. I kept Mark appraised of progress, and I would hope he would have shared that with you guys.
He knew where you weren't there.
Pardon me?
He shared that with us.
Oh,
thank
you, Mark.
Thinking of you that night.
You know, it was brought up to me by one of the county commissioners that there was a inference that some of us stayed away from that meeting deliberately. And I don't want to get into a who shot John here, but that was not the case, and I would hope that the people that made that assumption would understand that was not what happened. So,
and I think Mac had previously told everybody it was going to be in Pennsylvania, and so that was well in the
same. We, the consensus of the people at that meeting was that it was a situation that we should wait for the entire board to be there. There was no aspersions cast.
And I read that in the minutes, and I personally, I got to tell you, I appreciated that, Mark and everybody that went along with that. That was nice. Thank you. So, as Commissioner Chapman said, new blood is a good thing. I don't want to be the chair. So, we need to elect the chairman. What's your pleasure, board? What would you like to do?
Don't all just jump at it at one time.
Are you on drugs, Mark?
Yes.
I would hope so.
As a matter of fact,
You're dying to say something, Jackie.
I would nominate Matt.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's an honor to be considered, but I just don't have the time to commit. I'm never as prepared as I'd like to be just as a board member. Just don't think I can do the board justice. I'd like to nominate Mike West. He's been on the board a long time. He is always prepared. He does his research. If Mike would be willing, I think he would do a good job.
I have more time than you do. I know that. I know you're always busy. I have time to do it. But
second.
Did you say second?
I'm assuming the nomination would be second. Right?
Yep.
You got it.
Anybody else? I know you're one of the bosses. Different office. Okay, well, is that it for the nominations? Is that what you want to do? Should we close the nomination for chair? All right. All those in favor of Mike becoming the chair, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign?
No.
Chris says no. Mac said yes. Daryl. Okay. According to the... So you're the chair. But according to the bylaws, the record should, not the bylaws, the regulations for boards. I'm assuming Jackie and Maureen, you abstained. Mm-hmm. Okay, the record should show that the voting was one nay and six fours.
No, an abstention is an abstention.
Actually, it's not. Actually, an abstention is considered by the county commissioners an affirmative vote.
Check Robert's rules.
What did you say?
Check Robert's rules.
It's
really a moot point. There's four votes for, so he's the chair, so I don't really think we need to squabble over the wording.
Right. We don't.
You know?
So I think we leave it with he's got four votes, he's the new chair, and we move on.
Okay. Vice chair.
Point out, we would have to nominate two if you'd like to continue. I think it would be a very valuable resource for the board if you continue to serve as vice chair.
I have reservations about that, I have to tell you. I mean, I don't think the vice chair does a whole lot. But they do, he does serve, he or she does serve a vital purpose. What about you, Jackie?
I can't even talk.
Well, I would do that if that's your pleasure, but Mike seconded it.
I didn't hear motion second. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Motion and second.
Sir, you got that. Thank you. Right.
Any discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're the chair.
Does that start now or effective next meeting? Okay. So we'll move on into item 7, old business. Comprehensive plan update on transportation. Let's start with comprehensive plan.
At this point, Joy has done a great deal of work on this, and I don't know if you. I may leave a little bit early. I was hit by a car yesterday, so I'm kind of feeling this. When Wayne asked, I'm going to sit and listen. So I'm here. At any rate,
why did you assault the car?
When did I assault the car? At any rate, Joy's going to lead you through this. I think the main thing for tonight is we need your guidance on helping with the goals and all the work that was done with the advocates at the last meeting. A lot of really good information came out of that. I think after tonight, what we would like is to be able to take the goals and the strategies or objectives that were identified and be able to take that out to department heads and other groups that are responsible for different pieces. For example, to the Alliance. Economic Alliance, and say, here's the goal. Here are some strategies or objectives. We've used the word objective. Joy and I have talked about this. We're leaning more towards using strategy, and it's, for me, objective, if you look at it, is to object. And I don't know why that's kind of graded on me, and so I think strategy sounds better than objective. It's the same thing, I mean, so it doesn't really matter. But we would like to broaden and get some more input. Joy also wants to talk about definitions tonight, and so we're going to do definitions. And so I'm going to let Joy take over from here.
All right. So, planning board members received the notes from the meeting as well as the goals that had been modified to incorporate the community advocates' comments. Have you all had a chance to look over the internal notes from the meeting? Would you like to share your feedback about the meeting? Or your takeaways, your perceptions of how that went?
I'd be happy to share my perceptions. I thought it was a tremendous meeting. I thought we really had good engagement from the community advocates. They really got down. I thought they gave some very, very good input. I'm glad to see where, you know, the input is from the community advocates, that you've marked it right here so that we can actually see that that came from, you know, the people that came out that evening and spent their time and energy to help make this an even better plan. So I was really encouraged by the level of give and take and discussion and level of interest that the community showed in the plan. And I think they made it a lot stronger by their additions.
Anyone else would like to share their perception of the meeting or their takeaway thoughts?
I'll add the table I was at, the healthy, well-rounded, and equitable community focus area, took their job very seriously. And I think they contributed a great deal. They even took it to the point of retitling the head of the executive and totally wiping out some of the goals. I want to add to what I'm thinking. Much of what they had taken out or decided maybe that should be deleted from the goals of the objective should not necessarily be lost, but re-encompassed as secondary goals or tertiary goals, something of that nature. So I want to be sure to pass that along. I know that they mentioned that the lady that did the presentation for that group, and I want to make sure to reiterate that as well.
Yes.
They tried to narrow it down and make it a little less wordy, more straightforward, to the point, which I thought was good.
When I looked at the listened to the meeting, looked at the minutes, and looked at the commissioner's strategic plan, and looked at what the planning board had already done, there's a whole lot of more agreement than there is disagreement. And with the diversity of opinion in that room, I thought that was pretty impressive that it all started to kind of, there's some differences in degrees and things like that, but I mean, I think around the general concepts, it pretty much was agreement across all three of those, the planning board, the strategic plan, and the community advocates, and I thought that was pretty impressive.
So you two brought up something that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and that is what you guys have done in the past, what the planning board has done in the past is not lost. Those goals and objectives that you did are still there. The reason they are not shown on this document that I sent out to you guys and that Mark and I worked on is because the ones that are included in this document were the ones that we provided to the community advocates as an example.
So these aren't the doctored ones from the meeting?
Well, the ones that they doctored and edited and came up with on their own, they are in this document. Okay. The ones that they left as is, I left in this document and talked about with Mark to make sure that we were representing their thoughts and their work appropriately, and we decided to leave the ones that they had in front of them in here and to edit them where they edited them. And so you are seeing the ones that we provided as an example, you are seeing the ones that they created out of thin air, you are seeing the ones that they edited. So that is what this document is. Your planning board goals and objectives that you worked very hard on, we still have and are using. But you may not see everything in this document. There is one point that I wanted to bring up about the goals. We decided that the economic health goal, during the community advocates meeting, living wage was changed to a greater wage. But we have heard you guys discuss the need for a living wage in this county, and we went back to the surveys. We went back to the surveys, and living wage was mentioned by 107 respondents. That is 5% of the respondents of the survey specifically used the term living wage in a positive light. One respondent used it in a negative light. But 106 of them used it positively. And so I felt that it was important, we felt that it was important after looking at the survey and looking at what you guys have discussed in the planning board, that living wage was still incorporated into that goal.
So we need to define living wage.
Right. And I hope to do that today.
Yeah, we've got our definitions here.
We have definitions.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that good paying jobs was also uniquely identified by the respondents of the survey 153 times. So more times than living wage, but people may not use living wage on a day-to-day basis. So something to think about as we define living wage.
Good paying job might be above a living wage.
It might be above a living wage.
That's the complexity of, you know, trying to use these terms and definitions. I know we can't get around it, but everybody needs something different, right? What I consider a living wage, everybody on this board may disagree with. And likewise. But we've just got to, you know, I don't see a point in dragging out for a long time debating and arguing over these definitions, when at the end of the day, there's still going to be disagreements over what they mean. Maybe we could make an effort to better, you know, add definitions as an appendix to the plan, so that when it's referenced, people can look back and see, you know, what we agree upon as a definition for that. But I can guarantee you, at the end of the day, what I think is a living wage, everyone here may or may not agree with.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
That is one reason why we included the Merriam-Webster definition after the discussion of sustainability. Because staff discussed definitions, but then we can go back to a dictionary. And I use the online Merriam-Webster, and I noticed that it was slightly different than your Webster dictionary. And then
that was 1993.
Right. but there are terms that are not defined in the dictionary.
You can believe that they're defined in Washington by a team of lawyers and 800 pages of bureaucratic spaghetti.
That's my concern with a word like living wage. It has a specific legal definition to the government. If you attach it to a government document, that's going to be adhered to that definition instead of the definition we define around this table. Living wage is a politically charged word, just like affordable housing is. We both, I'm not convinced that the 107 people who wrote living wage had the definition that HUD has in mind when they wrote it. But I'm certain HUD has that definition in mind when they read it.
So there is a living wage coalition here in the county, and they're trying to actually define what that means. What does a living wage mean here, both in concept and in dollar value? And what they've come up with is that they're saying a living wage is 210% of federal poverty guidelines, 210% of federal poverty guidelines, 2015. And the reason why they came up with 210%, because that is at the point that you no longer need assistance from other government agencies for support, whether it be for food stamps, WIC, housing subsidies. 210% is that. And then what they've actually done is they've gone in there and they've said, and we will increase it by 5 cents whenever there's a 3% change. And so that's what they're looking at. And so a dollar figure on that for 2015 is $11.88 for a living wage. And that would be without insurance. If the company offers insurance, the amount is $10.35. So I think others are trying. We're not going to find a definition in a dictionary for living wage.
Merriam-Webster had a definition of living wage.
But I think that's Mike's point.
Right.
Is that it's not going to, it's going to be what somebody else defines. And in this case, Transylvania County, and actually there's been a group that's worked with Brevard College and has worked with some of the businesses to say, does this make sense? I know that the group has met with county representatives, has met with city of Brevard representatives, trying to say for Transylvania County, not Washington, D.C., not another entity, what makes sense for, you know, as a living wage? And I think that the rationale that the living wage group coalition has actually come up with makes a lot of sense.
Well, actually, Mark, you weren't going to say much.
I wasn't. The ropes are kicking in again.
Just like a college lecture over you.
Actually, the if you go to Just Economics of WNC, Western North Carolina, and they get a lot of their definitions from HUD, but they've got their own tailor-made for our area too, Just Economics of WNC. And so it's not really homegrown for Transylvania County. It's a bigger group. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we should choose our words carefully on this, because I read a quote yesterday. It said lawyers use words as either a shield or a sword. The words have meanings, and so the reason we need to be careful, in my opinion, is what words we use and what our definitions are, is because we all sitting around this table may understand what sustainability, livability, living wage, all this other stuff means. But we have to be aware that our county is going to be looked at more and more by people that are interested in investing money here and becoming employers here. And there's words that I'm sure are turnoffs to these people, and we should consider carefully these words. I would say, again, my opinion, we should run these words past Josh at the coalition and make sure that we're not working across purposes or use Mac or Mark.
What is the term that the Alliance uses? Is it quality wage? Well-paying jobs? Well-paying? I think that's right.
Is it defined, Mark? Do you have an actual definition?
No, I mean, well-paying for me is going to be different.
Yeah. See, to me, that's even more vague and confusing than going with living wage. We've got a very good definition of living wage. We have a group that has researched and really come up with a very specific methodology and equation and amount. So when you say, what is a living wage you're talking about? We can say, you know what? It's $11.85 an hour. So there's no confusion there. It, to me, if I was looking at a document, I would much rather have it be very clear that, oh, they're talking about a living wage as defined here. This is the amount it means for somebody to be able to basically live without government subsidies, you know, helping them, because that's what we want. I mean, we want to get to the goal. The goal is that people have jobs that allow them to support their families without having to rely on, you know, government help. So I don't understand why it's so controversial to just say we have, you know, part of our goal is that we have businesses that provide, you know, equal or above living wage salaries. I mean, that should be the goal. I don't understand the controversy.
Well, there may not be a controversy. But we need to make sure that we're using the proper words so we're not stepping on or working across purposes to the alliance. This may be completely acceptable to them. I don't know.
I think we should add to this.
Mike, somebody's raising their hand.
Sam had his hand up.
Let him finish and you go ahead.
I think we need to add to the definition we have here, the last part of the definition you added, it's 5 cents added for 3% increase was our definition. We've got to be careful that this is a plan for 2025. We're using 2015-16 definitions. As best we can, we need to define it so it'll be relevant in 2025 as well. As best we can.
I'm Sam Eddy. I was at the meeting where and in the group that worked on this bill, and it was Scott and Paul, Jimmy was part of that. Anyway, Josh Hollingsey was sitting beside me, and we discussed this at great length. Two things came out of that discussion. That group came to the conclusion that the goal is not to draw a line in the sand about what business you're recruiting, but to set your sights high. Because if we try to incentivize companies to come here, why would we as taxpayers want to incentivize somebody that's going to come and pay minimum wage? Mm-hmm. And that's the way we interpreted it, I believe. There was healthy discussion, was there not, Scott? Mm-hmm. The bottom line was that we came to well-paying jobs because it was a divisive discussion.
I agree with Sam, and that will take a lot of time. I have some concerns about some of these words because they've become lightning rods and such phrases and so forth that mean different things to different people. If I'm going to translate county, for example, and I'm going to make wages, and I'm going to pay my workers $10.50 an hour, I look at this and I say, I'm translating county like a woman. Where right now, there are a lot of us who would love to see a $10.50 an hour job. Conversely, if I'm going to Transylvania County and I was planning on paying my wage makers $10 an hour, I might look at this and say, I don't think I'm going to be involved in this.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Number one, this whole goal basically belongs to the Economic Alliance. And they're the group that the county commissioners have funded and supported to take them. I mean, it's basically their charge is to take this one goal and run with it. And so to me, this goal belongs to them, and anything that we do should be supported. For the planning board to come up with a plan that's contrary to what the Economic Alliance is going to do, it's silly and it's a waste of our time because they're going to do what they're going to do. And The other thing, I'm not comfortable with having a term like living wage where the definition is controlled by someone else. And in 6, 8, 10 years, living wage could have all the unit. To me, we need to have a document that when residents of the county read it, they have the same understanding as we do. If we have these certain terms and phrases that have very specific definitions, but the average person doesn't really comprehend that the living wage means $10.35 an hour, they just think it's a good wage, then to me it's just not the kind of document that we want to end up with. It would need something that when everybody reads it, everybody has the same take.
Steph, comment. Just remind you when we started this topic, what we're hoping for tonight is general guidance from you that says you need to take this out to the Economic Alliance. You need to take it out to the different county departments and make sure that we are, you are, as a board, doing what others are really in the trenches doing right now. So I completely agree with you on that.
That was my first.
And we agree. I mean, the staff is, what we're hoping is that you give us the authority to go out and say, take this concept, what we've worked on, to other groups to get that input, because that's essential right now.
And my first note when I read through is, where is input from the county government?
Exactly. I mean, it's
Forest Service is doing a 10-year plan right now. The county commissioner just finished a 5-year strategic plan.
Health department is working on something. Parks and Recreation is working on something. The city, we know that. Exactly.
We're writing a plan and talking about all these goals for these departments, and they're already doing their own thing.
So, but you have this kind of big picture piece right now as an advisory board to the county commissioners to help pull all this together, tying into their strategic plan, what they've kind of looked at, shorter range. And so it makes sense that you're doing this. Completely agree with you on that. On definitions, the only thing that I think we need to at this point, this is just me, is that you will need to have an appendix that when this document is finally approved by you, and you recommend it to go to the county commissioners, there is an appendix that says, at this date, this time, these words mean this. Because they will change. But whoever reads this, you can go back and say, it meant this. And that, Mike, I think has been your point all along, is to be able to say, this is what it meant when it was approved. And so I think if you identify where you got that definition, that you agreed to that definition, you're going to go through public hearing process. County commissioners are going to go through a public hearing process. You've built in what you need to do to make sure that you have definitions defined. So there are a lot of other words that Joy has identified, and I guess living wage, it's up to you as much time as you want to devote to it. But there are some other words, and just give direction to staff if we need to go back and redo some of these, or how you would like us to proceed.
In support of what you just said, Jackie Whitmer provided me a definition of sustainability, one paragraph long. The Federal Registry has over 100 pages defining sustainability. If it's that damn easy, how come it takes 100 pages to tell me what it means? That's a simple question. That's what I mean. Government contorts the meaning of words. They use it as a sword and a shield. And if you put a word like sustainability in this document, you put a word like living wage, or you put a word like affordable housing, trust me, HUD's going to put their own definition to it. They don't give a fat rat's butt what your definition is. They see the word sustainability, they attach it to a HUD program, or they don't. There's over 100 pages in the Federal Register defining sustainability. Ridiculous.
But Mike,
ridiculous.
If we put our definition in our document, that's what we're referring to in our document for our county.
That's what I want to make sure of.
And it doesn't have anything to do with 100 pages of HUD's
stuff. We want to make sure.
So,
that's what we're trying to do. So I guess I'm not getting your point or your concern, because why aren't we just trying to define things for where we're trying to go? We know the end state, and we're trying to describe how to get there with the objectives and the strategies and the actions. And I just find it amazing that it's this hard to try and get from point A to point B.
I find it amazing that you don't understand that government changes the definition of words at will. They have 100 words, 100 pages to define a word that Jackie Whitmer defined in a sentence.
But that's not what we're here to do. I mean, we're not here to fix all of the government. We're here to
make sure, we don't have a problem.
Well, I agree with you, Maureen. But the other question is, should government be involved in some of these things? Is our county commissioner going to, you know?
I guess we'll find out what our county commissioners will do when we submit this plan to them, and when we brief them, they will give us their guidance. But right now, we are working on the input that we got from the community, from the year of community services, of surveys that we did, from the input from the community advocates. So I want to take what the community has said and put their concerns and their priorities down and take that to the commissioners as a plan for the future. And then, absolutely, they will give us their guidance as to what they want.
So, Joy, what was the word that was used more often than living wage?
Good paying jobs.
There we go. That sounds like we're taking the taking the definition of the most used easily.
Where's the definition?
I did not use the paying jobs.
I mean, good paying jobs doesn't tell me anything, really.
Well, yeah.
You have to have a definition of that. Good paying jobs is a job that pays enough that you can support your family without having to have government subsidies, then that might be an acceptable definition and work. But we have to have it defined like that.
Well, a good paying job also carries with it responsibilities to learn how to get to the next level. The incentive to move up, not just, gee, I'm going to take this job because it pays me $11 and 85 cents an hour. And that goes back to what Sam was saying, and I agree with that, that we should be looking for those quality employers to move in here.
I think the most sensible thing I've heard is what Max said. Living wage is under the purview of T. Why don't we ask them what they mean by it? Why don't we give them, let's see what their definition is, what word they use, and how they define it. Because at the end of the day, there's so many plans on the table that we're going to be all working at cross purposes with each other if we don't start talking. So why don't we ask them what they think?
I think that's what the staff is asking for, and I think we're getting the cart before the horse and talking about definitions that may or may not be in what we get back from the Economic Development Alliance or county departments, in which staff is asking for these to be,
goals and strategies.
Goals and strategies. take it to them and see what they come back with then. I think it's proper time for this discussion.
Okay. Do you want a motion to that effect?
For who?
Do you just want a consensus from us?
What's the chair want? My point is on this. You've got a number of definitions that Joy has provided. We've spent probably the last 20 minutes really talking about living wage. Are the majority of these reasonable from your standpoint? They're not. Nothing is set in stone yet. Joy has taken time to try to come up with input from several of you as to here's what you ultimately would be you to find. It's not set in stone. So what we're looking for is, do these definitions make sense? If not, which ones don't you like? Let's flag that. Let's let the other ones, let's say they are okay, or let's leave them all as open right now until we get further along with some more input from department heads, other outside organizations, so forth.
That's where I'm at.
I like what Joy has done. I think these are actually pretty good definitions.
You'll notice, though, that I did include the Merriam-Webster definition. And so the question is, do we just take what the dictionary defines it as and leave it at the dictionary?
No.
No.
Okay.
That's easy.
We agree. Oh, my God. Great. Wow. All right.
That is one of the feedbacks that I really was looking for. And there we go.
But I don't think we should also just take the government's definition that anybody can Google these words and come up with 50 different definitions.
Agreed.
So if we spend 20 minutes or an hour on these definitions, it's okay with me.
They need to be Transylvania definitions.
Exactly.
As of this date.
As of today.
This was the interpretation of this statement when it was written.
Exactly. So that's all we've got to work with.
I don't think, to Wayne's question, is a motion needed. I don't think a motion is needed. Right? I think if in general, the definitions are good to work with in a draft format. And that we know that there are some words that have meaning to different people that we will definitely want to get specific input on. We do that as we begin crafting the draft.
What I like about these is it's a good place to start.
Yes.
Gets us all thinking.
Okay.
Mike has wanted for a long time.
We have heard from you guys that you wanted to discuss definitions. And we can do that at a later date, or we can continue.
Well, I think it's pertinent to discuss the definitions when we get the goals and strategies and the objectives again back to see what definitions we're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's based on what Mark Tooley said back there. They don't even use that phrase, so let's find out what other departments that are writing plans are saying.
Okay.
And we can table this as a draft and just sit on it until we find out, talk with other boards and find out what, you know, their definition may be different or it may not be the word they use.
I do. There is one definition on the second page of definitions, designated growth areas. It was originally discussed in the ordinance that created the planning department. So it was originally discussed by county commissioners a long time ago. And it was shown in the 2005 plan under industry areas.
Oh, those are my notes. Let me get you a different copy.
Thank you.
And
if I can interject, to Matt's point, everybody's point, this is development designated growth areas. There is one group that's going to be very much engaged with this, along with the city of Brevard, along with county commissioners. But, Joy, please go ahead.
My guidance that I'm looking for from you all tonight is, do we use this term that dates back to the 90s? And do we have the commissioners review this and designate these areas as growth areas? This is a draft.
In 2013, the planning board that was seated at the time did a report. That report identifies what is being referred to as designated growth areas.
Yeah.
I would recommend that everybody look at that plan and attempt to determine if they think those are feasible growth areas. They're a little different than this. Not entirely different, but a little different than these. And there was a lot of work went into that survey as far as what needs to be done along those corridors. I think we call them corridors in that report. I'm not certain. But if that report's online, it's in the planning board portion of TransylvaniaCounty.org, and it can be found. I would recommend everybody take a look at that, compare it with this, and see if that's where we want to go. I for one feel comfortable that designated growth areas is a much better alternative to high impact land use or zoning or some other word. Because if you put the resources down a corridor, business is following. And I think that's kind of the implication of a designated growth area. You have limited resources, you have limited places to put it in the county, you drive business to those corridors.
My question is, why have we not seen growth?
Because we don't have
resources. I mean, it's been that long, and we've not seen growth.
Because
what's the matter?
There's no water, sewer, no social things. That was what the board, if you look at that report, what the board recommended were those corridors. What that board, that was given to the county commissioners. And Scott, as a matter of fact, was the planning board chair at that time, presented to him. And I'm pretty sure we call them corridors, but they're not too far off from this map.
Well, when are we going to quit kicking the can down the road?
That's what we're trying to do here. If you have designated corridors, that's a place to start, designated growth areas.
And so, Jackie, to your point, I think that with this plan, with what the Alliance is doing, what the City of Brevard's doing, the goals and strategies and tasks that you come up with hopefully will be in alignment with everybody. Funding for water and sewer will come about. There will be new investment, both public and private. But it's, and you, I think you know the answer to your question already. It really is one of investment. And what are we willing, and where are we willing to make investment here? And everybody has to be together on that.
Yeah.
And that's not you as a board, that's not staff, that is a community saying this is what we want.
And that was brought up at the, when the survey went out to the different...
And brought up many times.
Yeah, dozens. And everybody understood, yes, we're going to have to cough up some extra money here to pay for this, so let's pull the trigger. Are these terms that would be... compatible with what the alliances.
That is why we need to take it to
them. Is that something else you guys could discuss?
Yeah. That needs to go to them. I'm not really comfortable with the word designated growth area, but I understand the concept. It almost sounds mandatory.
No, it's not mandatory.
There are times.
Close. Yeah.
Where if there is a land use plan, if there is a comprehensive plan, and it identifies these, then entities like NCDOT will come in and say, hold, you've already identified this, so then it becomes a higher priority for them once they realize that the local jurisdiction has already said this is something that we want to see. Parks, another thing just like that. If you already have identified greenways and you're trying to tie that into roads and bike systems, if DOT knows that it is already in place at the local level, they're more likely to fund it. It ranks higher. And so, Mike, I understand the concern about growth areas and designated, and maybe there's another way of saying it, but I do think if you're going to have a successful plan, you've got to say these are the areas that resources really need to go to, because the land's flat, you can get water, you can get sewer there relatively inexpensive, and there's more opportunity there than
I voted for that in 2013. I know the concept, and I'm just concerned about the terminology, but I think we need to send it to the Economic Alliance and see if that's where they're headed, that's where they're thinking, that's what I would do with that.
Done.
The only definition we need to discuss on here is land use, and we can probably do that at some other point in time, or we can do it right now, whatever the board is. Because I think that's one of the goals that was still up in the air. We're still juggling that. And so I think that's probably worth a discussion. And why? So do we want to look at that right now? That's pretty long and lengthy discussion.
I think we should start the discussion.
Okay. I think we had, at one point, we had a land use subcommittee. We had two people on it, and they came up with two radically different points of view. One way over here and one way over here, and there was no room in the middle. And I think we kind of left it there. So probably the solution somewhere in the middle, but it's a discussion we haven't had yet. So I think it's probably worth having.
Can I ask if you're talking about definition of land use or goal?
Goal. No, land
goal.
Goal.
Okay. I thought
which would sort of be.
We're done with definitions.
So we've shifted gears from definitions to.
Okay, we shifted gears. I'm happy with that. It's a discussion that needs to be had, and seeing the definition on the page is what brought that on. But, we had two different. I don't know that the definition's all that far off, but I think the two goals we came up with from the definition were radical departures from each other. And I don't know how we resolve this other than talking about it and trying to come to some compromise, if there is one. One goal presented.
Well, I think we ought to go from the goal that's actually on our paper here.
All right, we'll start
this
with
is
that.
The goal the community advocates had, mm-hmm. and that they worked. And
no, they didn't work this. They got this.
They worked it and they reworded it and they improved on it.
All right. Is this the reworded?
Yes.
Page 5.
Right. This is what they.
Right. There is one slight change, and I will explain that. That is in the percentage. Looking at the actual percentage that is restricted by federal, state, flood zones, conservation easements, and deed restrictions, mm-hmm. it's 65%. If we look at the amount of land that is also in subdivision, landfill, I didn't even go there. But if we just add the land that is in subdivision and landfill, that number goes up to 77%. But the way that it was worded, the number is 65%. If we need to change the wording to include already developed land and subdivisions, then we can go back to the number that the community advocate saw on the 4th. That's the background information.
Okay. What? Which number did the community advocate see?
The community advocate saw 76%.
Okay.
And I went back to the 2015 Natural Heritage data on the GIS and found an exact amount of acreage in federal, state, floodplain, and conservation easements. And that exact percentage is 65. That does not take into consideration the subdivisions that already exist.
Most with deed restrictions.
And if you put steep slope on top, how much more does it go up?
A lot.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So what you're talking about then would be this definition applying to less than 30% of land in the county, right? Okay.
I heard it was about 26%.
The steep slope?
No, the developable land in the county.
If you look at the report that was given the planning board in 2013, it's 24 to 26. Yeah.
So you're talking about applying this definition on one quarter of the land. The rest of it doesn't apply to it because it's already defined somehow.
Okay. I'm looking at page 5 of 9 from the report that we were given on the 10th. So Maureen thinks that's a good starting point.
I think it is, and I'll explain why if you want me to.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it immediately says, you know, right off the bat, that the county endorses private property rights, which was one of the big concerns. I know, Mike, that was your, you know, in particular concern. But then it also says that they seek ways to promote new growth and development through policies and procedures. And then we have affordable housing, livability, you know, the safety, accessibility of communities and neighborhoods. What we're talking about is how do we combine the land use, you know, the rights of the individual property owners, and also really look to the future of how do we manage the growth of communities so that we have that livability and really create those neighborhoods. And I think this, where it says, you know, community-based planning efforts is really a good compromise solution to where, you know, we had our two, you know, left and right definitions before.
What did I miss?
So I think we've already sort of moved into the center compromise area here.
Well, I think we softened the word. Endorses softens the original concept of what was on the table. The original concept was value the important right of individual property rights and will protect these rights by recognizing the first and best use of property is determined by the property owner. That's radically different from endorses. That's actively saying that the property owner, the person who pays taxes on the property, the person who holds the deed on the property, should determine what happens on the property. And then if they cause actual harm to someone, then you strengthen the regulations that restrict actual or that punish actual harm. That was what was actually said. Somehow we got from there to endorse, which is an entirely different concept. The point I made a little while ago is over 75% of this county, maybe as much as 80% of this county, is already restricted somehow. It's either federal land, it's state land, it's in conservation, it's in deed restriction, it's in subdivision, it's in steep slope. So we have 24% of the county or less where we're saying that we endorse property rights. We think it's kind of a good idea unless we need to put a road through your front yard. Then that's a better use of your land than you have. That's not what I meant by the concept of endorse. That's not endorsing property rights. Endorsing property rights is saying, yeah, we think it's a good idea. We'll have a property rights day and sign a certificate that says it's a good idea. Those are two different concepts. Anytime there's been a compromise between land use and property rights loses. And I don't know that there's more important, in my opinion, goal of government than protect property. So I think the word endorsed was a little softer than what I said.
In commenting on your logic, then, would it be impossible to build an interstate highway?
No, you pay people, you don't.
You're not eminent domain, you're not confiscating land.
You're not?
No.
What are you doing?
You're paying a trust value for property.
But if you zone, if you have a high impact land use ordinance, if you have those things, you're saying there are certain things you can't do on
high impact
property.
Land use could come down to one sentence.
Which is?
It does not go beyond the borders of your property. Period.
Okay. I think when the overall arching decision should be, is your property rights more important than your kids' future?
Yes. The property rights are your kids' future.
Well, unless you're willing to surrender them to business.
if I sell them, then it's moving that money on to the children's future.
Yeah.
Government has no, it, to me, endorses doesn't hit it right hard enough.
So we don't even no longer have a real estate person on the board.
Jackie is, yeah.
No, I have my property zoned in here, it's zoned agriculture. It has a base value of so many dollars per acre. Okay, now if that was decided, if that were zoned light industrial, what would be the change in the value of the property?
It would be more.
I can. Now, zoning benefits the property owner. It does. In most instances, it is to the benefit of the property owner.
What if I want to do something different than it's zoned?
Then you can come in for a variance. And if it doesn't affect the adjoining property owners, then most probably.
I no longer have use of my property. That's what you just said. I no longer have the first and best use of my property.
You don't have
you
the
have
total and unrestricted
you
use of your property.
That's my point.
Okay.
You have it now. Not me. And I pay taxes on it. I have the deed. There's got to be. Every time. Every time these two things come to loggerheads, property right there to be.
Well, you would still be walking down the footpath through the mountains to get to the creek to get your water if it wasn't for eminent domain and right of ways.
Well,
you wouldn't have electricity. There wouldn't be an electric supply to your house if it wasn't for right of ways.
So right makes might. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is that it's your idealistic point of view is impossible.
It's no more impossible than the act, the concept of the community.
Have you ever flown on an airplane?
Yeah.
Who do you think acquired those properties and built those airports?
Did they pay for them? Did they?
Yes.
Okay. We got to start with property rights. Part of property rights is
what you're saying is you, whatever you decide is the most important thing to be done with your property.
Correct.
For
because,
you.
Because it's the deed belongs to me. I pay for it. It's my property.
Mm-hmm.
Every time governments become involved, property rights takes a beat. We at least have to recognize that.
You like the interstate system.
Sure.
You like airports.
Sure.
You like airports.
But I also like the fact that if I don't want to sell my land, I don't have to.
But then you can impede
sure.
the good of everyone else.
It's my property. That's the whole problem.
Well, we will never get past that
right.
with you.
Right.
Because you have this focus of nothing is important except what you think is important.
It's the foundation of American government is the protection of life, liberty, and property. I don't make that up. That's how American government started, was protecting personal property. Are you going to deny that one?
No.
Okay. Then we're talking about American government, are we not?
We are not.
Or are we talking about some Soviet system?
Never mind.
Okay.
I know some point.
So we've got to get to the middle.
Well, you have the middle. That's the problem.
And apparently you don't either.
Yeah, I do.
Where is it?
You've got the rights to your property.
Until you want it.
Not maybe.
Until they want it.
If I miscarried, if I can't. If you're looking at trying to find that note, you mentioned several times the county endorses private rights, softening up, weakening would probably be the word you'd rather use. Do you have a suggested change there that would work for discussion purposes?
Somehow we've got to say, I agree there are times things have to be done, but it seems that the first answer is to restrict rights. I think we have to understand that the protection of rights comes first, and if something is completely necessary, we move in that direction. Zoning or some such as that, I think, takes that right off the bat, takes the right away of the use of the property. So we need to understand and protect the rights of property. Then if something becomes necessary, if that airport that Chris is going to build out in Roslyn becomes necessary, then we deal with it. Until such a time, we have to protect property rights. through, I mean, the foundational element of government is protection of rights. And we go automatically to the big solution that the government, that the community has a right to define what's done on my property. That's what high impact land use ordinances say, that's what zoning says. We need to use that as a last resort, not as a first resort.
Did you have a recommended change to the wording here with changing the doors?
I think we need to recognize the first and best use of property is determined by a property owner, with the consideration that at some point we may have to build an airport, Chris is building Rosman, and if we do, that people are justly compensated for the loss of land.
That already exists.
Does it?
Yes, sir. Okay.
See, I think we have to have a balance. And that's what, you know, I was trying to get in what I submitted. You know, you've got individual property rights, you've got, you know, all sorts of growth coming, you've got more people, we want more industry coming, communities want different things. And I think what we need to do is look at, you know, the picture of, you know, with the 25% of the usable land that's not already, you know, under some type of control, how do we best plan for the future for the whole community? Respecting individual property rights, but then also recognizing that there's got to be some control with the growth, or else you're just going to have haphazard,
sprawl. How do you do that? How do you?
Well, you have the community-based planning efforts, the small-based efforts where the communities come together and say, we want to plan for what our community is going to look like and go forward. You know,
isn't this
community-based
planning efforts right here?
The designated growth, yes. So the, this.
Can I offer some wording thoughts just for consideration? On that second sentence, remove the word endorses and change it to supports.
So change it to what?
Supports. Private property rights, while actively seeking ways to promote new growth and development through, insert the words citizen-driven policies and procedures. I don't think that there's really a lot that's inconsistent there.
Period.
No, you go on and hit the rest of that.
Yeah.
But what I think I hear is that there's a need to not only endorse, but support private property rights. And I think that's fundamental to what your piece is. I think that that makes sense. You're supporting private property rights. But at the same time, the goal is stating that you're actively seeking ways to promote new growth. This is, Maureen, this is what you were talking about. And development, but what I'm trying to do is add in here then my citizen-driven. So that county commissioners, when they adopt this, they're looking and saying, as a policy, we want citizen input on these policies and procedures that we might recommend. And then that last sentence stands as is, because that was the way PSCA forced communities on. Daryl, I think you were the co-chairman. And that was something that was driven by the county commissioners. Did not want that. City Council didn't want it. The residents didn't want it, but the residents were the one that pressed for it, and that's what the county commissioners ultimately, we were able to do. And so, for consideration, change out the word endorses to supports, and then insert citizen-driven as a way of trying to get some more discussion on how do you find that common middle.
Where do you put citizens driven?
After
it, we're read right now through policies. And I don't know if that's the right term. I'm just trying to find something.
I would add recognizes and supports private property rights. But I would put it here, I like your citizen driven. Promote new growth and development through citizen driven policies and procedures, period. The rest of the sentence tells us what we want to see those citizens do.
the rest of that sentence, it says it ties the hands of those citizen-driven policies and procedures to enhance only those things listed there. I would put a period after policies and procedures.
I would suggest that you put a such as or some type of IG, so that what you're doing is you're listing examples, so that you, I think your point's well taken. You don't want to just be specific to those, but as for example or EG examples, and then put them in parentheses. So it's not saying those are the only ones, but as examples.
I think it's reasonable.
I'm happy with that compromise.
He's happy with it.
So did you say the end of the policy, citizen-driven policies and procedures?
Parentheses, E period, G period, affordable housing, livability, safety, accessibility, communities, neighborhoods. Close parent, period. So it's not, you're not saying those specifically, but you're identifying.
Would it not be more appropriate to define those under objective number two, where we're talking about citizen small base area planning, define and address the concerns that of that particular community, such as affordable housing, livability, safety, and accessibility of communities and neighborhoods. Moving those examples down to objective number two as opposed to having them there.
I think we need the examples up to really give a little more definition to the goal, what we're talking about right from the start. Then we can get even more specific under the strategies.
Yeah.
So Darrell, your suggestion is to take that and put it under two, or not necessarily for discussion right now, that we would put it under an objective or strategy.
Yeah. It makes the land use goal a little less wordy, makes it a little more straightforward, and you achieve the same objective by adding it under objective number two, where you are actually talking about community based small area planning.
I think that that's, it's reasonable for a draft right now to have something like that and let you take a look at it at the next meeting. The collective wisdom of this board is amazing.
The what?
Collective wisdom of this board is amazing. Mike, does that...
So we're stopping with citizen-driven policies and procedures, period.
Yes, sir.
Then we're moving the, what you call the IE...
They will fall under, in some form or another, they will go under objective/strategy number two.
Okay.
I'm good with that as a draft.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. Maureen, does that...
I really don't like moving that down under strategies. I think it changes the goal significantly by not having some of those bigger concepts up there.
Would you let staff take a cut at that and see if that might be, if, at least give us an opportunity to play with that? But I understand, I think what I understand you to say is, by keeping it in that first paragraph, it's really kind of more global.
Yes.
It covers the entire thing, whereas if you put it under...
It becomes one objective.
It becomes one objective.
And I think when you take that out, then you lose the bigger picture of what I was saying about land use. And so I don't agree that it should just be under one single objective. It should be part of the bigger picture.
Would it make sense to put not as many examples, but come up with something that states that there are types of things that you're looking at, but not as many here, then you come down and you identify more specifically in what would be objective two.
Well, aren't we, if we're saying those are citizen-driven policies, and then we're saying, and here's the categories under which the government wants you to drive those policies, are we defeating the word citizen-driven?
That's the point I'm trying to make. Is we're, I mean, I understand that we're providing examples of what it would look like, but we want citizen-driven policy to be citizen-driven.
I actually think that works.
Not county-driven, but we want you to consider policies. And for example, here's some you may consider. To me, you're steering them in the direction of the policy you want to consider rather than true, raw, community-based development.
Yeah, I think you're limiting it when you do that.
I think you're helping by providing examples to the community because people aren't necessarily going to know what do you mean citizen-driven policies and procedures. I think when you say, we're looking for safety, accessibility of neighborhoods. You know, that is a larger concept that we're not telling the citizens how to do it. We're not telling the citizens what they have to do it. But we're saying, citizens, you might want to think about for the future of your community as you do planning. These are some of the larger concepts that you should have in mind.
I'm sure there will.
And it's just examples.
I'm sure this board or a government official will be there when they're doing their community-based planning to steer them in those directions. And I would be okay if we, you know, left it to such as safety and accessibility of communities and neighborhoods, as an example. I think that's where a community would want to start. Technically, in their developing their community-based policies and procedure. For me, if my community was doing it, I'd want to start with safety of the community and the accessibility of the communities and neighborhoods for fire, for police.
Right, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the fundamental things. That's, But I don't see why, you know, we would take that out of. I think we need to have that up there as sort of the balance.
Different wording here. Such as extension of utilities, road improvements, safety, and accessible communities. Because those are really the fundamental pieces, Mike, that you've talked about.
And that supports economic development.
And that supporting economic development, what it has done is it's gotten rid of the affordable housing piece. Affordable housing is a very important piece here, but I don't know that it's that global piece. But utilities, an extension of those, or location rather than extension, road improvement, safety, and accessible communities. I really think that's global piece.
That's basic infrastructure that you expect the government to provide.
I would put livability back in there.
That's a pretty nebulous term.
What if the community decides in their land use plan they don't want to do anything?
That's entirely possible.
Some people have argued that that's been the case since 2005.
What if the community, the small community, decides they don't want to do anything?
That's their choice.
Citizen-driven policy and procedure, period. That's what we just determined. They may not want to do anything. They've made the decision.
Right.
No suggestion there. There's no comment there. They made the decision.
They have that right, and they live with that.
They made the decision.
But we still need, I think, the bigger concept. If they want to make that decision, that's fine. That's what we're saying. But I think the idea that citizen-driven policies and procedures could look at the livability, the safety, the infrastructure, and these are things that ought to be, part of the bigger goal.
Community character.
Yeah. What do they want their community to look like? The health, the safety, of their neighborhoods, the livability of their neighborhoods.
Extension of utilities, I think I saw nods on that. Road improvements.
I like that.
safety.
Now, are you talking in the main body, or are you talking down in the objective?
Main body, such as, or examples. And then accessibility to communities, where I think I'm hearing some concern is livability.
Mm-hmm.
The livability piece, affordable housing, I don't know if that really, that doesn't seem...
We could take affordable housing out of there and have it, you know, under an objective. But I think livability is a bigger concept, and that ought to be up there.
It's up to the citizen. Community, you know, how they want that livability to live.
It's an example. It's not what we're saying. This is what you could do.
Yeah.
That's a better word. This is what you could do. Instead of...
You could consider this.
Thank you, Chris.
Some of the policies and procedures that could be considered are.
That could be considered.
That way you're giving them an idea, you're not forcing them to spin in that direction.
Yes. Include, but are not limited to.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Okay. I think staff has direction to at least come back with a revised draft on this. And let you guys come back. I think that there are some other things that in work that Joy has done that actually fit really well with your discussion and where you're taking this right now. So that's great.
You don't want to get into the objectives now, do you?
I have one more area of concern, and this came from reading the strategic plan. And I think we've discussed it, but we haven't visited it again, is actually breaking education out as a separate goal. The strategic plan by the county commissioners has it broken out.
They did that at your training.
Right.
Yeah, they did that.
Yeah, and I think both
not
in the goal.
It's on the last page.
It's
9 of 9.
It's been added in.
9 of 9.
All right. It doesn't have a lot of objectives, but this is one where you would actually go to the school system and say, we need input on this. So, but Joy is already, with the help of the community advocates, has already done that, Mike. So it's there.
Excellent. Thank you. I'm sorry I didn't see that. That's what I wanted to do, because that is in the strategic plan. And I wanted to make sure that if it's included in the strategic plan, it's important enough for them to break it out. Probably should be important enough.
Well, and the significance there is just simply the dollars that are going to be involved in that.
But so with that, anybody have any more discussion on goals? Is everybody happy with this as a draft? Understanding that this is a draft,
and that we're going to seek input from others now, and then come back at the next meeting
and.
We'll have refined goals and strategies, and maybe even a little bit more detail on what the whole document might look like. Some more on that. Joy has actually been spending a lot of time working on maps, putting together how this all looks, and so we'll see what we can do on that.
And in regard to that, I did a little bit of legwork on my own in talking with the department head. And the questions I asked them were things like, how will changing demographics change operations in your department? Because we haven't addressed that yet, but I wanted to kind of get an idea from the department head. Department heads know things that we don't possibly know. They know what's coming around the curve.
Right.
We're sitting here looking at it from 50,000 feet, and they're looking at it from the road. And so I think over the course of time, it's important that planning board members on their own meet with department heads. Not, it doesn't have to be all of us. I happen to meet up with a department head and ask them some questions, and I think it's important that we kind of get the feel from the road, because there are other plans going on. For example, there's an emergency services plan, which is going to be pretty comprehensive in regard to the future of fire taxes, the future of department consolidation. There's a lot of things that could be considered. And
we're not even aware of what's going on as far as the planning board goes. So I think it's important that we sit and discuss it with the department heads, and maybe if we can get them to come to a meeting. I certainly would like to get some written input from them, but they know things we don't know, and in the course of about 30 minutes, I learned a whole lot of things about this department that I didn't know before. I found out data from 4 years ago, and that data projections 4 years into the future, and it enlightened me as to the importance of that goal, so the public safety goal. So I think there's an opportunity to get some information from department heads, and I'd encourage any planning board member to just go out and do it, because I just went out and did it, and I said, can I talk with you? I'm on the planning board, I got some questions. They sat down and talked with you, and they'll do it for you. Just call them up. And I think it's important that we all get that information from the road. Any more questions on goals? Everybody happy with it as a draft at the moment? All right.
Thank you. I mean, you covered a lot of that tonight.
Next thing is update on transportation projects.
And we really covered that earlier. We have a meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30. County commissioners are meeting with NCDOT representatives. The chair of the Transportation Advisory Committee is David Carter. Vice chair is John Folger. Jimmy Rittmeyer is on that board. They've been invited to this. And so we'll be talking about the projects that I mentioned earlier and just getting updates on those.
Is that a public meeting?
Yeah, it's a public meeting.
But it is a public meeting.
Okay. It's open to the advisory board members. DOT is there. There's nothing that's going to be discussed that is not public. It does not meet public meetings law requirements, but it is open.
And that's in the
administration.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what that is. It's going to be in the administration building.
Council chamber.
Yeah.
9:30.
Yes, sir. Under director's report, just a couple of things. Kaylin is working on the new website, and so hopefully we'll have something that you can preview in a couple of weeks. And she's really done a masterful job of mapping out a lot of the different pieces that we've had. So the website we've had is one that has just kind of grown over time. Trish had it, Michelle and April, they've done great work with it. I think we're going to have something that is actually more clear and logical in process and connecting in different ways that we haven't done. So no great expectations, Carolyn, but thank you for all that you're doing. I've been telling you about different grants that we've been working on. We know, I think we've got an affirmative on one of the grants that we've been working on. With media here, I don't want to make it public unless at this point, because I want to make sure that somebody else doesn't do that first. We are working on a bike and pedestrian safety awareness grant. My wife wrote with a picture of me in the hospital bed yesterday, my two kids saying that your dad is doing personal research on me. And so we are working on that. I've been also working with Frank Porter, looking at a cool communities grant with USDA, and it would be a concept that Frank and I are working on. We've got to discuss it with some others, but that's a grant that would have some money that would support economic development from the standpoint of tourism, so we're going to involve TDA. And then some of the more rural areas of the county and trying to get broadband Wi-Fi to those places. And so that's something that we're working on. And then the last thing I've got is the county is, and Mike, you've kind of already alluded to this, we're in our budget process right now. And so we are trying to develop the planning board, community development, and JHPC budgets. That's all I've got, sir.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask Mark a few questions?
Oh, yeah.
Mark,
what do you want?
Would it be appropriate for you to contact the representative from AT&T and ask him
what their plans are for 2006 for putting cell towers in our county.
I can go back to the contact that provided us with the list of proposed tower sites from 2 years ago and just ask for an update on that. I'd be happy to do that.
Please. Thank you.
Any more questions? We had an answer on the end of that. Any more than one?
Yeah. I went to the workshop, I think it was earlier this week, about running county board meetings.
Wasn't it last?
It's the 11th.
My days are mixed up. And it was a good information there, but one of the things that our board should have is county email addresses. Can you do that for us?
You can get those.
Well, you know, we're sending out replies and so forth to each other on personal email addresses, and they should be done on we should be doing that.
We would be happy if that's a policy, as long as everybody remembers to check another email address. So if you want one, we will work with the IT and make sure that you have it. But you've got to, I don't want to have to put in two mailing addresses for everybody, because how many times are you going to check that one? So, but if that's something that we need to do, happy to do it.
Are they making that a policy for all the boards?
I did not know that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that either.
Could be.
I guess we ought to check and find out if that's going to be the problem.
I know, it's very easy. Yeah.
It's what?
It's easy
to add your phone.
That's something I've meant to ask about ever since I came on board. It would be possible for us to all have county email addresses to use. If there's a Freedom of Information Act request, the county IT folks can pull all the information. It's not up to somebody who accidentally deleted something.
Mark said done. They brought it up at that meeting, and we don't want any appearance of any improprieties or private conversations.
Done.
Any more questions?
No, that's it.
All right.
Seven.
I guess if we were talking about other things.
I have no other.
Okay, let's ask the rest of the staff. Joy, do you have any other questions?
I do not have any other.
Do you have any other questions? I guess we're done talking about other stuff. All right, so next would be public comments. All right.
In spite of all the antics with the semantics, it was very good to see common agreements on things. And at that public meeting, I listened to two gentlemen that normally seem like they're far apart talk about goals for our county on having a corridor and having the infrastructure and agreeing upon the growth of our county. And then you wouldn't have to worry about something happening over here or happening over there, because it would happen where the infrastructure was supplied, and you could control where that growth and what was going to happen with that. So there's a lot of commonality if we get away from the antiques.
Those seem like reasonably intelligent people, you know. Thank you. Anybody else have any comments? Board member. Start over here with Chris. You got
me first?
Go ahead if you want to go.
So I think that we can come together on some issues. We get bogged down so much in one or two words that are not for us to define to begin with. They are accepted
definitions of words. You know, we can argue all we want to about what they mean. When they go out to the public, when they go out to the court, they're going to be defined as the court or what is previously written, not what we decide. All we can do is say, this is what we thought we had today. As far as citizen input and on various subjects, we don't even get input from commissioners. I mean, we put up, what was it, how many town hall meetings?
33 different community events.
And to get the people to come to those, you know, part of the business of leading is making decisions. And you're not always going to make a decision that pleases everyone. In fact, you will never make a decision that pleases everyone. But that's the mantle of leadership, is that you have to make those decisions, even though you may be criticized if they're the right decision to make. That's been one of the problems with our county. When you make a decision, we have a courthouse issue that's been dragging on for nearly 10 years because nobody will decide what they want to do. So, there's an old saying that I won't repeat, but it has to do with get off the pot. So, you know, if we can't prod the elected officials to do what they were elected to do, then what we do here is a moot point. That's all I have to say.
I would like to invite the planning board to hear Josh from CEA and sponsor a vision. And it's February 24th at 7 o'clock in the Rogow Room.
In the Rogow Room?
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock, February 24th.
Anything
else? And take the vision quest. You go to every business in Brevard, every department, and you get to talk to the director. So you learn a lot.
I'd like to thank Wayne for his services, Jim. He took under a lot of undue stress, and he handled it really well.
It's been interesting.
It's no small thing to be in charge of so many individuals, strong minded people.
You have nothing?
I'd like to welcome Gerald to the planning board. Thank you for your willingness to serve. And as I said, it's interesting being the chairman. That I'm not anymore. I think it was a good meeting tonight. Thank you all for your input.
I just want to say, I think the strength of this board is in the diversity of opinions that we have. And I've heard some people say that they feel this board is dysfunctional because we have such a wide range of opinions. Well, I would take issue with that. It is not a dysfunctional board. You get strength by listening to different sides, by hearing different opinions, and then trying to work out what's best. And I think tonight was an excellent example of that. I just want to say that I'm really pleased to be on this board with all of the members, with all of the viewpoints, and that you know, people need to understand that, you know, we are all professionals and we all do work together well on this board, even though we don't necessarily have the exact same viewpoint all the time. And that does not mean the board is not dysfunctional. That is actually the strength of this board.
I agree. All right. I'm going to start out by agreeing with Maureen.
See? Okay. Wow.
I had a discussion with someone using exactly that word, and I said that the fact is that this board has seven strong-minded intelligent people. I said, if you want less conflict, put people with fewer opinions or
but same opinions, yeah.
On the board. I said, I think the strength is we actually discuss things, and I said, yeah, it gets hot in there sometimes, and it gets uncomfortable, but I said, I think in the end, the product's decent, good, and I said, I think everybody on the board's concerned about the best interest of the county. So, if I disagree with you, it's not personal. If you disagree with me, it's not personal. It's just one of those things, you know. As far as, I'd like to welcome Mark back from with the living. I'm glad he didn't. Nothing worse happened than he did. So he said he landed on his posterior. So fortunately, he not landed on his head or anything. And he's okay. It's a little stoked up, as they used to say back in the hills. But glad to see him here. I'd like to thank Wayne for his time as chair. I'd like to welcome Daryl. I thought tonight was a good meeting. I think we're making progress toward the goal. We may have to, at some point, double up meetings and you know, move a little faster, but I want to make sure that the product we come out with is not produced quickly, but produced well. So, with that, that's all I have.
I'd like to make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor, get up together.
Take care. Recover quickly. 3 meetings. Hey there.
Are we still on at your house?
Yes, take care. My house too. 6:30. Yes.
Okay.
Good. I was going to tell you that Sunday got to be like this. His whole throat swelled up and he opened his mouth. It was like, some infections that came in his eye.
There's some really nasty stuff there.
I don't know that. That's why he didn't show up to March Saturday. He was so sick and mad.
Oh, well, I'm glad he didn't. Because
yeah. It was cold. I know. I was just going, you know, my little class and everything.
And we were out there. We had those kids.
Good night.
We had those kids.
Yeah.
They couldn't stand it. Interesting.
Really?
So
they should have been.
We did the whole march thing.
Oh.
Well, we brought extra girls from Passion Club. So they have plenty of little things, but we just couldn't deal with it. And so we, Tommy and I had to bend the bus and help us take them back.
Let's take them back.
Yeah, and they got in the bus. But I got a couple of things to carry with me right now.
Okay.
But before you go,
all right, well, here.
Or I'll come 15 minutes early if you're at home.
Yeah. Come 15 minutes early. Or call me in the middle of the day. I have a 3 to 5 and I'll be back in the morning. Which
you right.
Think? Brian has passed. I don't know.